Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's raising the vibration on the Live Paranormal Radio Network and iHeartRadio.com. You can also find us at Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM, iVox, and the list goes on and on. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 28-year talk radio host. I'm a creative and performing artist, and I come to you from my home in Southern California every week. This show is the outreach of a movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I founded in 2016. To carry on my mom's teachings after her passing. My mom always believed that the world needed more peace, more love, more kindness, more unity, and that if we just implemented a little bit of those things, we could make a difference in the world. With this show, I've also added the words ascend and evolve and inspire, because I really believe that we're all participating in our own ascension, and that that is part of our evolvement, not just as individuals, but as a species, and that then we should use both that ascension and that evolvement to inspire others. I love the quote, you know, when you're doing well, send the elevator down and bring up 100 people. I think that should be what always our life is about. So every week on the show, I gather members of my tribe from my spiritual life, from my entertainment life, from my nonprofit give back life. And we talk about what are we doing to make the world a better place, right? What's your passion? What's your service? What are you bringing to the world? And how is that making a difference in touching the life of one person or the entire world? So today I have a very dear friend on the show who hasn't been on my show in a while, just because life gets busy and we all get busy, right? They're really a pioneering person in the intersex community, of which I am also a part, an author, an activist, and a writer, written for so many different publications, also a big part of the intersex campaign for equality, and now a best-selling author. The book is called Born Both, and it's wonderful, and I'm so glad to have them here. Please welcome to the show, here I think for the very first time since I started these shows on iHeart, the wonderful Hita Valoria is here. How are you, my friend? It's wonderful to have you here, and great to hear
Sheena.
Your voice after so many quarantine years. Welcome.
I know. Thank you. And what a beautiful show to be on. I am so excited about this new show. I don't remember the name of the last one I was on back.
I think before you had done my daily show at the time, which was the Sheena Metal Experience, which
right.
Now lives in a video format, and I'll have to have you on there as well. It's now a web TV talk show. COVID shifted
oh, wow.
everything
cool.
to the web. But
I
thought
doing
this would
so
be so
much,
perfect
Sheena.
For you. I do so
Thank
much,
you.
Right?
I agree.
I know this
I told you.
For you because we're friends and we've talked a lot outside of the work that we do for the intersex community, that, you know, spirituality fuels a lot of what you do. And also for you, it's also really important that you, you're making the world a better place, right? I mean, I think that's what advocacy and activism is supposed to be about, but not everybody walks their talk as well as you do. So I appreciate you being here.
Well,
I think the
you,
show
Sheena.
Is so perfect.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, I think it's so important now more than ever that this show exists, right? Because we've gone, you know, in the mainstream and a lot of mainstream sources, division is right where it's at. There's so much
yep.
of that. It's just almost become an American obsession, right? To be like, are you on this
right.
side or that side?
right.
And
right.
It's
yeah.
not
you know
how I approach yeah. the world, and it's not how you approach the world either.
Not at all. I believe that if you claim that you're a person who is progressive, then part of that progressiveness is you got to walk that talk and realize that people have a right to exist on the earth, even if you don't agree with what they're saying, because the us and them thing, we've got to get over that. So my mom passed in 2016.
Exactly. So old.
Oh, couldn't so do anything sorry. After she passed. Took me 6 months, and I just thank you. And I decided to put a memorial together for her on her birthday, which was November 9th. Well, we all know what happened on November 9th, 2016. There's a little presidential election. And I literally had her memorial was 4 days later. And I literally had people calling me saying, I'm not going to go if they're Republicans there. I'm not going to go if they're Democrats there. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is somebody died. But I think that we've almost become obsessed with our division. And even within our blessed queer community, right? This one doesn't that one, and that one doesn't like this one, and nobody understands who the fuck we are. So I think that kind of helps us get off a little easier in some ways. If I had a dime for anybody who asked me what intersex was, I'm like, do you not have Google?
I know. I know. Well, it's strange though, right? And then it's interesting though, as so much is out there in the press about, you know, people being erased. And, yeah, there are efforts to suppress people going on heavily, right? But I think when you're intersex, it's interesting. You look at it from a different direction, which is like, well, yes, but that is literally how it's always been throughout our life. So one
right.
can exist, right, and one can love oneself and thrive and also be loving, even if we're not, you know, accepted within the mainstream. And I think
right.
that's something important right now to remember, right?
Absolutely. And if people feel like they're being erased, I sort of feel, Hita, like we're being unerased. We're starting to become a little visible as other people feel like they're being erased. Kind of like that, you know, when you spill water on something and the secret message comes out. It's kind of like
right.
the intersex community. We're floating
perfect.
To the top.
Oh, my God. That's exactly how it is with us. The secret message came out, and actually, but it makes us collateral damage, right, in the bills. I don't know if you saw Montana's bill. I found it so fascinating to read it because, you know, and if people don't know, right, intersex people, we're not typically male or female. We're often a blend of both.
Right.
Not necessarily, but right in some ways, very much like that. Like I would say that's, you know, kind of in my case. But in this bill, I read it and the language says that the sexes are determined by the biological indication of male or female. Okay, that makes sense, including sex chromosomes, gonads, and non-ambiguous internal and external genitalia present at birth. So I'm like, well, you can put it that way, but there will be people, and there are people, like yours truly, for example, who don't have non-ambiguous genitalia. It's,
right.
I just
yeah.
honestly,
yeah.
I kind of have to laugh about it because I always kind of think historically, and I think maybe a lot of people who are spiritual do, right, because we know that there's cycles, right? There's cycles of energy, there's cycles of awareness and transformation, and it's easy to forget that, right? Like it's easy to forget that there were societies like Crete that had no war and were very peaceful, right? And we've just gone as a human species in cycles back and forth from peaceful
right.
to more warlike, right? And so when I think about that, I just kind of laugh like, okay, well, they're going here now, right? Like, this is where it's going. It's been there in the past, right?
Right.
People have suffered tremendously all through the course. And now, you know, instead of just embracing the scientific reality that some of us exist, they're trying to enforce it legally. That's the difference. It's always really been enforced this way in medicine, right? To make us one or the other, or at least define us as one or the other. You know, now they're trying to make it legal, put it in the language of the law. And I just think it's surprisingly or unsurprisingly small-minded, right? But it also reminded me, and this will take some viewers back, remember the whole Teletubbies scandal when politician, Republican politician, was in an uproar that the purple Teletubby was gay? Do you remember that?
Right, because he had a purse. Right,
yeah.
Because he had a purse. Pearls or something.
Yeah,
but now every rich man in America wears a man bag. So basically all the rich men now have purses.
Yeah, exactly. It kinda, they liked it. You know, they ended up looking at the Teletubby and thought, hey. But I just laughed. Like, these things have...
Right, it burst through it. Fashion designers loved it. It's like, yeah, we go in these... We kind of always do this, right? So I think it's... Like your mission says, it's like maintaining a loving and, you know, aspirational and evolving personally as much as we can throughout it all. Because it's really, right? And I wonder, you've probably gone through a lot of evolution since your mom passed. I have a lot.
Oh,
my mom passed in 14. And then
in
these past few years since COVID, don't you feel, I feel like it was a real kind of a, the word of fast track, you know, to evolve in certain ways. If you went that way, you know, if you wanted to go that way.
I agree.
We've had to dig deep.
People like you and me that are so in it to be, sit back away from it and just look at it with some distance for a couple of years. That was kind of fascinating. I stopped doing and got to stop and think and observe. And it was so good for me. But it did change me. There are a lot of things I don't want to go back to now because I've been away from it.
Really?
Do you like
hate crowds now?
No, I don't hate crowds. I'll do crowds, but I don't feel like I have to say yes to show up to everything I'm asked to do. And I don't feel like I have to put myself in compromising positions I don't want to be in because I'm worried if I don't, then the next thing won't come. Because, you know, especially when you grow up in the entertainment business, you're sort of weaned as a young actor that you have to say yes to everything, yes to everybody, because if you don't, the phone may never ring again. And it really took some time away from it to make me realize, you know what, I don't need to put up with certain behaviors from people, and I don't need to be in situations that make me feel uncomfortable. And, you know, I came down to the beach to fix up my childhood home and for renting it, and I fell in love with being here and decided the cat and I decided to stay. So I'm living like kind of removed from everything, you know. I still have my place in town, but I'm now – living in a town that hasn't changed much since we moved here 42 years ago, and really loving not having to be kind of in the middle of it all the time, unless I choose to drive into it an hour and some and be there, you know. So I think the whole situation changed me. I think everything that happened, certainly the death of my mother, as you know, is a huge thing. And that was a huge, because I didn't think I would survive her death. I thought I would just wither away and go because she went, because we were so close. But I realized that there was so much work here for me to do. And now I'm doing that work out of her home, right? I do my videos and my radio show sitting at her desk. I mean, it's really kind of amazing.
Oh, that's cool.
That her energy is so much
very
here.
Cool.
And it makes me so proud because she was so awesome, right? She was such an advocate for everything I was, including being intersex, but being an artist, being a spiritual being, being, a queer person. Like, she just was behind all of it. So to be here doing the work in her energetic space and to kind of be carrying on her teachings is just amazing. And so from a spiritual perspective, what you were talking about earlier, I mean, I really think that the universe is a balance of light and dark, right? I mean, scientifically, we know the universe is a balance of positivity and negativity. And sometimes when something gets too positive, something negative comes in to balance it out. And I think we've seen that throughout the history of man, like you said, in civilizations, that you have a civilization that is very loving and very accepting of everyone, and then something comes along and everyone's being oppressed. And I think you can see in this country, even just if we're talking about like the 20th and 21st century, right, how it's gone back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, the Roaring 20s went into Prohibition, and then the Depression went into World War II. And so I think that this is just a time where, as the country and the world overall are becoming more accepting of giving people their rights and their equality, there has to be that group of negative people, that darkness, that just pushes against it. And at this point, I think it's kind of silly. Right. I mean, the Montana bill, first of all, there's like 3.5 people in Montana. But, I mean, the I think they have like one electoral vote, right? Literally, they have one electoral vote. It just seems like, you know what? It's kind of like this. When I was in 1986, I went to my first Pride. It was LA Pride. And there was this whole massive group of skinheads passing out these horrible flyers that said, AIDS is finishing what the Nazis started. And I was sickened and revolted and horrified by that. Well, cut to 10 years ago, I was in the parade for Long Beach Pride for a breast cancer fundraiser. And I'm on my little car and I'm riding down the road and there's like three little angry fundamentalists holding up their signs. And there was no significance, like all the fear that we used to have that they would show up to events and they would be violent and horrible. It's now just like two or three people holding up their, you know, strange little biblical quotes, and they're just not scary anymore. And that's kind of how I feel now about this oppressive alt-right politics. It just seems like it's just the last ditch effort to try to blow everything up because the world is it's ascending and they can't stop it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking the other day, because every kind of ism, you know, is getting like pulled out of the woodwork too, right? Anti-Semitism's on the rise, which, you know, that's been a while, right? Like, and maybe that's also in part just from being from New York, right? But even in New York, there's anti-Semitic stuff going on. You know what I mean? And it's in the press, which it never was growing up. And then it's like, let's get anti-Asian violence in there too. You know, I feel like they're really trying to hold on to, and of course, sexism, you know, they're trying to hold on to, trying to revamp every form of discrimination in a sense, and, you know, separate people that way. And it's an old story, right? Like I said about the Teletubby, like that's politics sort of tends to do this focus on, you know, some issues that drive people emotionally and really push those buttons, right, to get people to vote a certain way. And really what we should all be just joining together on is saving the planet too, right?
Yeah,
but it's really hard to do that when everyone's pissed at each other in different ways and, you know, squabbling over.
Exactly. It distracts us, right, from the real message. All the hatred and the bigotry and the discrimination, it just distracts us from the real message, which is we got to fix this planet so it stays nice for us to live in. And we have to learn to love each other before we destroy each other. And all these little, like, you know, minutia things along the way, like, you know, are we going to talk about the fact that, you know, everything in the ocean is dying, or are we going to pitch a fit because the new Little Mermaid is black? You know what I mean?
That's distracting us
from the important stuff. And you're right. It all comes back to the Teletubby. It's all that over and over again. And there's so many people that are so full of fear. And there's such a, you know, we've wrapped so much in modern society around gender that the idea that you would declare you were a different gender or it would turn out like us, guess what? You're just no gender at all, is horrifying, because everything so much comes down to gender. And I think that even more than we're a racist society or we're a homophobic society, we are a horribly sexist society. And so then you have this group of people who are like, well, we don't really care about being one or the other. Let's just all love each other. Well, that's horrifying on like 97 levels. And I think that is something that's coming for the intersex community, But right now we're still sort of that secret message of the watermark that's barely visible. So we haven't really been hit with that as hard as in everyday America as we will be. I have a friend who calls it the he's a ufologist, so he deals with the UFO community. He calls it like the average person at a bar in Cleveland or something. When it gets to that point where it's something that everybody in the country is thinking about. Because I would imagine if you polled 100 Americans in any given area, probably 90 of them wouldn't even know what intersex was, unless you were like in LA or San Francisco or New York, Chicago.
It's
you
interesting,
know?
Right? So that's a cool poll. That gives me a grant idea. You know, it would be kind of interesting to know really just how few people even know we exist. But that's, you know, and then these laws are seeking to keep it that way, right? Because there is, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I always feel that, you know, sexism is basically this overarching thing that drives homophobia, transphobia, and interphobia, right? Because it's like sexism. Men and women should be it's a certain way. Homophobia, you're not being the right way for a man. You're not being the right way for a woman, right? Like, it's all driven on that, right? The expectations around what male and female are and whether you're living up to that or whether you're breaking all expectations, right? And so we basically debunk that at the very heart of the issue. And that's why I think on a subconscious level, I don't even know they've been aware, because it's coming from so many different areas in society, right? The kind of systematic, like, hiding of our existence. But I think on some deep level, people know that if the absoluteness of male or female is questioned, then that's going to really mess with this whole sexist model. That's going, you know, and I think that really drives people absolutely from not wanting to just kind of include us, even when they know we exist. That's the part that's much more kind of maddening for me, is that many, many, many people that know we exist still exclude us constantly from conversations. Sometimes even conversations about our own work. You know, I was involved in the ex-passport marker, right? And it was shocking to see, or not so shocking, but in one way it was shocking, because these were allies, you know, ally orgs that were talking about the X marker and only talking about how significant it was for non-binary and trans people, when it was actually pioneered by my good friend and colleague, Dana Zim, who's intersex, right? And pioneered because, you know, they've always felt like we've got to start doing something policy-wise to just make it acknowledge that we exist, right? Because if we're not really acknowledged to exist, if you're not written into the law, you're written out of it, is the expression, right, that they always say, and is kind of a legal expression, and it's true. So that's why they wanted to fight for the X marker instead of an MRF. And so you have these organizations, and I won't name names, but they're some of the top human rights organizations talking about this win and leaving out the intersex community, right? So what is that about? That's really curious, right? It's, you know, it's our own work.
I mean, I think even within the queer community, right? Because, and I've had this explained to me by angry queer people that, you know, I'm a woman and I fought for my right to be with a woman and now you're screwing that up. It's like, well, wait a minute, I'm not stopping you from being a woman, and I'm not stopping you from sleeping with a woman. So what did I do? I'm just alive. You know, I had an experience
exactly like that. Someone asked me, like, a new friend. So I'm in Santa Fe, so I'm way out in the, you know, speaking of not a lot of people, and you know, that experience, and I'm digging it. I had someone that I'd met here who seemed cool asked me to, you know, go hang out. And I'm like, awesome, cool. She's gay. And she's annoyed at an experience that went on with a trans person, which, you know, she had a reason to be annoyed. So there's really two sides to that whole issue, right? The feminist versus trans people, you know. I think there's two sides, and it saddens me that they can't really listen to each other, that it's been so hard to have the conversation. And even for me, I've wanted to write about it, but I'm like, I'm not going there yet, because people are not able to really listen to one another. Right?
Yeah.
So even though I'm acknowledging that the experience she went through was difficult as a woman, it shouldn't have happened, et cetera, she's kind of on a rant, you know, an anti-trans rant. And she's like, and I don't even know what they think. And anyway, there's only male and female anyway. There's only men or women. And I just, because she knows she went to my book reading. when my book launched, right? It's been a while, it was 2017, she went. So she knows very well. And I was like, you know I'm intersex, right? So it's just, and I'm like, and so there's not just male and female, right? And she's like, oh, okay. I just think so many people, though, on both sides, you know, are doing that thing. Like, they can't. And so this is why I just try to be in a different space. Like, let's all listen to each other. Because there's, you know, and I actually, someone challenged me on Twitter to a conversation. And it's this person who's very big on, there are only two sexes. And, you know, I'm a gender studies major. And he's like a straight white guy. Like, why?
Right.
So typical that you feel like you're the expert on gender. But in any case, he challenges me during this kind of little debate that's going on, you know, and I had said something like, well, I'm willing to have a conversation. I love, you know, interesting, complex conversations. I do as a Gemini, like I'm a quintuple Gemini. I love that. But I'm not into people just insulting me here who don't even know me for daring to, you know, to acknowledge that I'm intersex. And that I, you know, like,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, and he comes out and he's like, well, if you're ever interested in having a very polite, respectful conversation, you know, hit me up in my DM or whatever, blah, blah. And I did, and of course he never responded, right? So
right,
it was just for show. He, you know, he doesn't want to really hear my side, right?
Right,
and that's what's, you know, it's and I...
Right?
And, yes, I think people too, like, right now it's an interesting time period because I think a lot of people are aware that you, this has always been the case to a degree, but I think it's easier now. Like, if you have a certain controversial opinion, there are people that will back you immediately, right? So he's getting a lot of love from, like, conservative groups, right? And kind of getting bigger, his career is amping up much more than it would have 10 years ago, where he'd just be like random Joe Schmo, you know, gender studies, dude, like, okay, whatever, you know, but now he's like getting attention here and there, and, you know, and it's because of that. So I think people also just being, you know, self-interested, many, right, and greedy, many, also just want to kind of like get their position and fight for their position and maintain it, because they'll get a lot of...
Message across the board with everything political or sociological. Everybody wants to jump on a bandwagon for something. But I also believe some people are generally just ignorant and tweet. And I kind of feel like my mom, when, you know, when she finally started admitting to her own psychic gifts and started studying in the New Age community, she thought she'd sort of found this respite from Christianity. And then, because, you know, I grew up here in Orange County, where I'm now still very conservative, but was hella conservative in the 80s. And my parents were New Yorkers. They were kind of like, where did we move? So when she got into the New Age community and realized there was just as much hypocrisy there, it was so disheartening to her. And I think that's how I felt in the queer community. But I'm like, wait a minute. You all fought for your own rights, but you literally only fought for your own rights. And now you don't want anyone else's rights. So I had a guest on my show many years ago, a few years ago. And I always start out by saying that I know she really cares for me and likes me as a person and completely digs me. Because anything I ask her to do, she always says yes. But we're sitting on the show, and all of a sudden she starts talking about how she would never date a trans woman, which was weird because no one brought that up. And lesbians saying they would never date a trans woman, it's beginning to be like straight guys and the don't drop the soap thing. You know what I mean? It's like, no trans woman asked to date you. Why are you bringing it up? Just all of a sudden out of the blue. And then it's this whole thing about, I don't want to be with a dude. It's still a dude. I don't care if they had surgery. It's still a dude. So then I politely bring up once again to remind her that I am also gender different and I'm intersex. And then in the course of the next couple of minutes, she's ranting about trans people. And I don't even know if she realized she did it, but she pointed at me and said, and whatever kind of freak show you are. And I thought, oh my God, you're like a gay advocate for a lesbian and a pillar in the lesbian community. Do you realize you just called me a freak show? And I stopped her and said, I don't know what that's about, but I don't think that's like a really appropriate term to use. And she didn't back down. She was like, well, I don't understand what you are, and I'm not supposed to have to get it. And I'm thinking, wow, because there's nothing worse than an oppressed person who's also bigoted. So all that time there's so many. And all that time when I was bisexual, didn't know yet that I was intersex, and was in relationships with guys and still marched at every pride and fought for every gay person I knew. I didn't have a dog in the game at that point. I could have very easily not even told anybody I was bisexual. For these people to now turn around and be, well, whatever kind of freak show you are, I'm like, are you kidding me? I fought for your rights in the 80s.
I know. I have felt that way at times too, Sheena. And I have kind of reminded people like, yeah, when I was at the first gay and lesbian nonprofit in the country, probably the world, in 1989, after I left home because I wasn't accepted as a lesbian, right? I had that thing, no support at all. And you know what I like to say about that too, slight pivot, but I want to remind anyone, especially if there's younger viewers feeling really, you know, scared or just bad about, you know, the heightened discrimination, that we can survive. Like every older gay or lesbian or bisexual person, right, like my age and up, from society at large had no support. Like maybe, you know, some of us were lucky to have parents who were supportive, but I would hazard to say at least 50% of us did not, probably more like 75% of us. And particularly people of color, like probably 95%, and immigrants and stuff that not want their kids to be gay. Like my immigrant family, right? It's like, we got enough problems. You're going to be gay? That's not why we moved here for the American dream, you know? And, right? Like we struggled for you to be gay. Exactly. Knowing that we had no support from society in any way, like couldn't even talk about who we were, you know, and yet we survive and thrive. So I really want to remind young people of that, right? Because then society, right, being again so like extremist and divided, likes to focus on, oh, well, you know, the suicide statistics and everyone will kill themselves. And it's like, no, everyone will not necessarily kill themselves. Like, don't go there either, right? You know,
right.
I think that's an important thing. And I told, you know, I have certain young people in my life, like kids of friends of mine that are non-binary now and were kind of freaking out about being their pronouns being forgotten sometimes and da 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 da. And I just had to remind them of, like, you know, I couldn't remember my friend's new name for months after my friend suddenly changed her name, you know, like a childhood friend, a close friend that I'd known. And I would mess it up. You know, I'd say, and she hated it. And I wasn't trying to mess with her. There's just a balance, you know. And I said, and you don't have to be so freaked out if somebody doesn't realize you're a they, because theys don't necessarily look any certain way.
Right.
You know, so
and
if you're non-binary
that,
and you go by they, them, how are people supposed to know that? So don't take it so personally. And I'm like, a pronoun doesn't define me, right? One little word does not define me. I know who I am. I don't
not
really need, right? Like it's just another perspective, right? I'm trying to kind of share sometimes my work, like empowering perspectives, because
I love that.
Right? Thank you. It's easy to feel the victim with all of these things going on and to kind of get upset.
And I love the idea, introduced. You know, I have one of my good friends found out 3 years ago on 23andMe that his biological father was not his biological father. And he met his biological, because his sister, his biological sister contacted him on 23andMe, and he's gone to him developing this entire relationship with his biological family and his biological father. So he changed his last name. And I have a really hard time because in my brain, the old name is still imprinted.
Exactly.
And oftentimes I will screw up and say his old last name and then have to correct and save a new one. But I'm not doing it to be disrespectful or because I don't believe in what he did. I just, you get used to something a certain way, and it's hard sometimes to think of it another way. And I think especially for parents, because parents, you
yes.
know, every little thing about
they've really gotten used to it, right? Yeah, they're
yeah,
used to thinking of, you know, their daughter or their son, you know, like that's basically it. It all boils down to that, you know, so it's a process. And a lot of, you know, what's yeah. interesting for me is because I have been openly non-binary, and just to give the viewers a little background, like, you know, kind of like you, I think like first knew I was queer, knew that, and then I, you know, identified as a lesbian because I'd been assigned and raised a girl and felt like a girl and, you know, so felt like a lesbian, right. knew I liked girls. And then as I realized that my body's different and like, oh, wow, that has a name, it's intersex, I use queer more, right? Because it's like, okay, I'm not a typical girl, but I'm still, I'm not straight in the way that that's expected either, so I'm queer. But I lost my train of thought. I was giving background and then I lost my train of thought.
Well, the transition
about
how you change. Went to them.
Oh, we were talking about pronouns. No, it'll come back to me. But yeah, I just think that it's about loving both ourselves, first
mm-hmm.
ourselves, really, really learning how to love ourselves so that we can turn it around. Because I think what happens is there is so much shaming, right, on both sides about either one. Either you're, you know, a grooming, pedophilic, child-abusing trans supporter, right, from the right, or you're like an evil, you know, transphobic whatever, TERF, blah, blah. And I think that if you're wounded inside, if you're feeling scared or angry or just not that powerful or, you know, not that happy, it's so easy to try to blame someone, right, for your unhappiness. It's so easy to just go and to stay in the negative space, and it's all you're spewing out, right? Like that's kind of how it works. I watch some people, you know, after COVID and that time period, right, it was so interesting because it was COVID and then also right away the big BLM protests, right, very soon afterwards.
Right.
And it just brought out
right.
so much in people, right? You just saw people kind of imploding over, you know, wanting to prove that they're anti-racist in ways that, like, kind of make them seem racist or, you know, stuff like that. Or, right, or just being really racist, like, oh, those protesters and blah, blah, blah. Like, you just saw all these different sides coming out, and then some people are losing their jobs or having to pivot or being at home with their kids and not used to that. And I saw people saying the craziest stuff online, and I was just like, wow, it's really not a time that they later have recanted, right? Stuff like, I don't know, someone, I posted a study about vitamin C being shown, and it was from Harvard and a big top medical school in China as well. It was a dual study. It was about mega doses of vitamin C being helpful, right, for COVID in preventing or at least lessening. And, you know, I was concerned about people. I have quite a few friends with different immunocompromised issues, right, in their health. And so I posted this as a means to, you know, help people, right, have access to something simple they might do. And this was like in the beginning phases, right? And someone I know posted, that's bullshit, a doctor, about the vitamin C thing. And then I wrote
right.
that privately and was like, you realize this is a study from here, and they're a doctor, but they're very liberal, right? So they like immediately kind of jump, and then they later realize, yes, of course, that's useful. And of course, anything that is building your immune system. So like, again, why can't we have a conversation? Like, right? But
right,
but immediately
right.
These lines were sort of drawn. Like if you have a holistic view at all that like you can help your health in natural ways, you're a Republican. Like
right.
Me as someone
yeah.
who is very into health, is I was just shocked. Like how does
yeah,
that mean that some
But that's that radicalism from both sides, right? I remember a very uh-huh. angry lesbian right about the time we elected Barack Obama that I was secretly a Republican because I drove a sedan. You know, if you were a real Democrat, you'd get a hybrid or you'd get this, you'd get that. And a couple of years later, she brought a gigantic minivan. Now, I'm willing to bet my carbon footprint's a lot lower than her minivan, but then the excuse was, well, it's okay because I had children. I needed that van. Well, who asked you to have so many damn children? There's, you know,
right. Exactly. And for that matter, why didn't you
here.
Adopt? If you're such a wonderful person,
exactly.
why didn't you adopt one of the many children in need? Like, very few talk about that, right?
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know, had their own children, fertility drugs, and have like four of them, and then needed to get that
right.
big, giant mini. And then it was they were gonna. Then it was she was gonna buy property in the Pacific Northwest somewhere that was covered with trees, and then cut down all the trees and sell the wood to make money. And the thing was, because I have children, and I was like, well, wait a minute, I'm just driving a car that gets like 35 miles to the gallon, and I barely even ever drive because I work at home. So I'm a little
right.
confused about. Why you can like cut down half of Oregon and sell the wood and drive a car to 10 miles to the gallon.
Exactly.
And I'm the Republican. But I just
somehow
think that there's a
yeah. a very strange tribalism. It's tribalism, right? That's the word, but you know.
Yeah, it absolutely. Yeah, and it takes away from what I believe in, which is universalism, right? Where we're all kind of
mm-hmm.
in the universe together. Let's all try
mm-hmm.
to be kind and gentle. That everyone's going to vote how
right.
I vote, believe how I like who I like. I don't need to, and I don't need to believe in all their stuff. But I just refuse to have this hatred of everyone.
Me too. Yeah, I don't do that.
No,
I have. I didn't unfriend people. I had people on there.
No,
you know, I have one person who's a big supporter of my intersex activism, and I'd never... You know, he'd sent me some messages. I'd never looked at his profile for a while anyway. And when I finally happened to click out, I was like, who is this guy anyway? He's so supportive. He's holding, like, guns, some NRA thing. Like, he's, like, way off, you know, in a different world politically than where I am. But I'm like, that is so cool that he actually, you know, could listen to the things I'm saying and the message and really digs it. Because it is sort of a message about just, you know, accept yourself, be loving, you know, accept everyone,
yeah.
accept others. It's the golden rule, right? So it's
down here where I'm living in conservative Orange County, there's a large majority of the lesbian community that are hardcore Trumpers. Because apparently
wow.
politics outweighs your sexuality or your gender. People just, I guess, like being white. So it doesn't matter.
That's what I was going to say. They have to be white lesbians, right? Because otherwise,
yeah, like
I think they would notice that.
And they're choosing white above their gender or their sexuality. But you know what? That's their business, and it's their right. And isn't it wonderful that we live in a country where anybody can support anybody they want and anybody can vote any way they want? And I'm very proud to be a part of this country, and I'd have it no other way. So,
well, me too, and that's what I hope that we can hold on to a little bit. I'm happy to see things like I read a great interview with someone who is formerly lesbian identified and is now trans non-binary. What's her name? Mesha Gessem. Getting it wrong, but anyway, she's a New Yorker writer, and the headline was something like, "What are we talking about when we talk about trans rights?" So one thing I was super excited to see in there is, like me. They didn't feel that Chappelle's special, I don't know if you saw it, was terrible. Like they were, I think the interviewer asked them about it. Did you see the controversial special that Chappelle did?
Yeah, that created
that whole uproar. And, you know, I rewatched it after watching it just to kind of check out if I'd missed anything, glazed over anything. And I noticed there was a joke in there, which is the joke that she brought up, that I was like, oh, wow. So he's actually supporting trans bathroom rights. Because he joked about how if they forced, what was it, a trans woman to use the male restroom, right? Like, he would prefer to see a trans man in there at the urinal, you know, with him than a woman in there, you know, beside him. Sure. Like, that would be weird, right? Even if she has a penis, like, she should be in the woman's room. And that's actually very trans supportive because she wants to be in the woman's room, right? So she was like, I heard some next level trans supportive stuff in there. And so, you know, I think it's important to be nuanced too, because there were a lot of, you know, anti-women, anti-gay jokes in there, anti-everything. And I thought it was hilarious. So I'm of the apparently kind of more, I don't know, old-fashioned view that, like, we can laugh at ourselves too. Right? What about that? When we kind of laugh, we can laugh at ourselves. Like,
I've laughed at tons of
lesbian jokes because they can be kind of true, right? All of them. I have Jewish friends that make these Jewish jokes that would be so offensive if it wasn't them making it, right, about themselves. Or people might be like, but they do because they're you know, you can laugh about yourself sometimes. So
that's an interesting thing that I feel like. Sometimes it helps, like when I mentioned being intersex, especially when I speak at my church. And, you know, I'm pastored at the founder's church of the biggest gay denomination in the world. And, you know, sometimes I say something intersex and I see the faces gloss over. And I always say, okay, I'll give you a minute. Get out your phones and look it up. And then I always say, and I say this in interviews and people ask me too, I know the first thing you're wondering is, do I have a penis? And the answer is no, but I'd probably get more dates if I did. And then everybody laughs and it fells it out.
That's beautiful. I love that. I've been thinking of intersex jokes and keeping a small tab. Some of them I think are too edgy, but like one involves a brisk and it's not really out there. But I hope we get to the point. I hope we get to a point where we can, you know, just do that, right? And to clarify, you know, in case someone's thinking, well, but those people are laughing at themselves, right? You know, I laugh at jokes made by people who aren't in my community about the community if it seems like they're just made to be funny, right? And there's no malice. And literally, like, what's wrong with that? I don't know. And I think that would be cool because it's a way of actually fostering understanding. That's sort of what stuff that I'm working on now is comedy, a comedy dramedy series, and it's only, you know, in development, so nothing to announce yet official. But I just think that's where my focus is going now. Like, let's reach the world through comedy, because I think it's more needed than ever. There's so much animosity.
Yeah. Yeah, and just make people feel like, sometimes people get angry when they feel ignorant. So if you help someone to feel like they understand a situation a little bit better, sometimes that helps them to connect. You know,
I do that too. We have a similar approach. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I did that monologue in the fall, and it was sort of like the vagina monologue, but for trans folks, and they sort of threw me into the mix, right? So I was kind of like,
I saw that. I was like, that's cool. How did that go? I meant to find out.
It was amazing. It was fantastic. So we all wrote original pieces, and, you know, a lot of the trans folks' pieces were very sad. They've been through a lot of really sad stuff. And I said to the producer, what do you want me to do? And she said, I just want you to write about your experience and your voice. Well, growing up Irish, I learned that you just keep laughing at things. Like, the Irish survived centuries of cultural oppression by continuing to laugh and dance. So I just did it in my funny voice. Because for me, the whole journey was odd. It was odd and it was very strange, but it also was funny to me. So I did and I think people loved it. And I think when I got up there, people were probably like, who is this? And what is the story? This is not a trans person. But then by the end, they were like, oh my God, you're just a trans person. Because we really all...
This is an intersex person, and that's awesome.
We're all the same. We're all just like each other with a few little tweaks that make us different. But every person is basically just like every other person, only a tiny bit different. So we need to think of each other more as same and less as different. And I think it takes tremendous bravery to stand up there and tell a story that makes you cry. And I admire every one of them for doing it. I made a whole dozen new friends, and it was like a family, and it was wonderful. And I think they're going to do great things with it. And I'm so proud of my original materials in it.
Yay.
But, man, I just did it with my own voice.
There you go.
And I did my own, you know, and that's just how I did it. I did it my own way
with my own voice, and I did my own thing. And the authenticity is always the most powerful, right? I think that that's what people have reached out. Oh, you did you get to finish Born Both?
Yes, it's wonderful. You did such a good job with it, but you have such a beautiful way of speaking anyhow.
Oh, well, thank you. I what I was really most happy about with it is that the reach of people that gave me feedback was very broad, right? I should say the range of people, the reach it had and the range of people, you know, a lot of, from all across the board, like a lot of regular straight guys too. They're like, oh, this made me accept parts of myself, you know, and that's exactly what I wanted, right? Just the story about loving yourself despite being different, despite, you know, people not really understanding who you are, right? About just staying in that place of reaching deeper and deeper to do what you basically demand others to do, right? And this is what we talk about not having the divisiveness, right? That I see it even in my own community activism sometimes. It's like, well, we can't expect others to accept us, right, when we're so very angry towards them, right, for any little mistake, and then yet we expect people to bend over backwards for us, and they don't even know about us as much, right?
Yeah.
So we can't do that, right? Like, you know, people that are still making mistakes about racism, but then someone makes a mistake about, you know, trans issues or intersex issues, and it's like, you are horrible, and it's like, well, are you getting harassed by a lot of black people constantly for how horribly, you know, entitled you are as a white person? No. So how about we kind of, you know, go more gently on each other, right? And
right.
I think that's our approach.
I absolutely could not agree more. I mean, I think that is... And I love that you're coming from that place, and I think it's so important that our voices are heard coming from that place, because I think the fighting and the fighting and the fighting for rights is amazing, and you need to do that in the beginning. When you start to get to the point we're at now where rights start to be given, then it's about how are we assimilating now with our new rights into society, all of us from all different walks of life and different groups, so that now we can get to the point where it becomes a non-issue. So when someone says they're intersex or they're trans or they have, you know, a Muslim parent and a Christian parent, everybody's not kind of like, oh, you know what I mean? When we get to the point where it's just like, oh, that's cool. Like, thankfully seeing so much now in media, right, in television and films, we're seeing all kinds of different walks of life of people and not a lot of shock around it. Like I'm watching the prequel to Grease, right? The Rise of the Pink Ladies, and they're all different nationalities.
Oh, I didn't know that was that.
One's Latin and one's Asian and one's African American, and it's not like, oh my God, but it's the 50s. I mean, I'm sure there's some people who are, but we're seeing all these alternate universes on TV and in films where it's just a non-issue. We're seeing different people of different ethnicities and different sexualities and different genders all mixed in together like it's always been okay. And I think people need to see that, right? To realize
I love
it's
that.
Okay. And we can
I
move
love
on
that.
Now.
I know, and the kids are already there, right? The younger generations, like, because 100%. Of sort of, you know, what was happening during our generations, right? More prior to, like, kind of building, paving the way for that, you know? They're on it. They don't really care. You know, it's funny. One of the last presentations I gave on intersex issues to a college class, they were, like, sort of like, okay, and? What's the big deal?
Yeah.
Like, so I kind of had to explain that, yes, even though you think it's fine, there are many actual legal issues and medical abuse issues going on that we're working towards. So please, you know, share when you can, blah, blah. But that was kind of cool, though, just to see that that's sort of the place that they were starting from. We're definitely advancing, right? And it's just the backlash. I remember there was a book, Backlash, right, about backlash on feminism, and now we've got backlash on queer rights, right, on rainbow rights.
And just like the little plate we all had as babies, when you eat all your food, there's a secret message at the bottom, and it's intersex people are real.
Exactly. Yes, we are. Woo, woo. And we are thriving, and we're all around. And one day that won't be a big deal.
Right. You're so wonderful. I'm so sorry we're out of time. Let's book another hour and do more of this because you're just
totally.
Magic.
Go a
and
little
love
deeper
to
maybe. Maybe we'll have like a deep, let's pick a topic.
Yes.
You too, Sheena. Total mutual admiration here. And keep
where
on doing what you're
you?
Doing.
Thank you, sweetie.
They
where
can find
people
me
find
at
you? And
HedaValoria.com or at HedaValoria on Twitter and Instagram. And it's HedaValoria. Have a great night, Sheena.
And we'll do it again. The wonderful HedaValoria, my friend, and just a fantastic human on the earth. If you missed those links, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com, that's my website, and you can find me everywhere on social media at SheenaMetal. And, of course, Raising the Vibration Radio is the show. RaisingTheVibration.org is my nonprofit movement. And LifeParanormal.com and iHeartRadio.com are the networks and all of our affiliates. So I see you next time. Seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, always work to raise your vibration, and know that you are love and you are loved and you are so loved by me. And I'll see you next time. I'm Sheena Metal, and this is Raising the Vibration.